Good morning, everybody, again. Here we are. Yeah, excited. They can't hardly hear me. Is it on? Check, check, check. They can't? Check, check. Yeah, okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Here we are. I see a lot of purple coming out again, so I know the seasons are changing, which means we're getting into some sense of not normalcy, if we ever will be there again. Well, as I said, welcome to Faith Fellowship Church. We're excited to have you with us. It's starting to see a little bit more faces coming out as people are coming back, but we're thankful for the ability to live stream and kind of connect with people who can't be here still in person. So today is, like I said, our upper room service. The upper room service is nothing more than just our time of communion. When we remember the sacrifice that Christ provided for us, we think about in the upper room where he met with his disciples the night that he would be arrested and lead into everything. And we call this our upper room service for that reason. So remember way back before COVID, we'd always have the kids come up on stage, and it was so cute because they're in the service. We want them to feel a part of church. But obviously, there was ways of not doing it. But today it's different. Today is a new day. We are going to attempt to have the kids on stage again. So kids, then before you come on up, let me just tell you, we're going to have a one line right here. And I was going to tape out spots, but I know you guys know what 6 feet is. I want one line, and we're going to spread you out kind of 6 feet apart. You can come up wearing your mask, of course, and I'll tell you there is candy involved in this because that's how I get you guys, all you kids, up on stage. So, kids, come on up. I know you're not used to this because it's been a while, but, oh, even the littlest will come over here. You can go first because I know you'll want to go first. So here, you can stand right here. You can stand right here. I know directions. I feel Jen and Paul. All right. All right. Spread out just a little bit, just for appearance sake. Just, I don't know. Somebody's going to be watching online that doesn't know us and just freak us out and everything. So here's what we're going to do. This is a little game of, now we get somebody running. Don't cut the, I pull out the bowl and somebody comes running in the line. All right. So here's what we're going to do. You guys have know how this works. You're going to get a spoon, and you're going to have to walk across the stage without dropping the egg. Okay? Now, I got Frank approval on this. I didn't even get real eggs because I don't want to mess up his stage. So we got little plastic eggs that don't have a yolk inside them, but there is something special inside it. Okay? So are you ready for this? Yeah, she's ready. All right. And as you come across, you can wave because you guys are on camera too, so you guys are now going viral. How about that? All right. So, you got this? All right. So you want to hold the spoon, and you want to be very careful. You're going to walk all the way. Think you can do it? You think you can do it?
Just purple.
Just purple? I don't have a purple. Oh, wait, I do have a purple egg. I do have a purple. Here we go. All right. Oh, man. I'm definitely retiring from youth ministry before you get there. All right. So, are you ready? Okay. So, you're going to walk all the way across the stage. You don't want to drop your egg, okay? Ready? Go. I'll go with you. Oh, you can pick it up. You can pick it up. You got it. Nice. Yeah. Right. I'll come in with you. Look at your, I know, I see your nails. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I got 35 minutes to preach, all right? So here we go. Here we go. All right. That's it. Yeah. All right. Good job. Oh, now you see the candy inside. All right, here you go. You can go back to your seat. Just make sure we get the eggs back. Close it. Oh, I can close it, sure. Here you go. Great job. You don't have to, you can go back to your seat. Oh, you. Ed Reed never drops anything. All right, excellent job. Give it up for it. There we go. All right, now you guys saw how it was, right? Think you can handle this? Let me ask this first. Do you have a particular color you want egg? No, all right. Hey, look at that, I got you to match your shirt. All right. Ooh, you're going very gently, might I say. There we go. Oh yeah. There he goes. Almost. Look at that. All right. What's your name? It's my daughter, Kenzie. All right. Now, are you ready?
Yeah.
Nope. I'm just kidding. All right, go ahead. I'm going to spin you guys in a circle or something to get this going here. All right. Don't spin you. You want to spin in a circle? No. Trevor will. No. All right, go ahead. You guys are all being very good. Thank goodness for Evelyn, because. Oh, you think you could do it even if I did spin? Oh, look at that. Maybe I should have done like real eggs or something to really get it. All right.
Not with Evelyn.
All right, you ready? I want you to use your mouth.
What? No.
I'm just kidding. All right.
I have a mask on. I can't do that.
Yeah, you got the mask. These kids are too good. Thank goodness we did have Evelyn that dropped it the first time because that keeps it going. All right. All right, here we go. Your last one. I got two left. You know what I'm going to make you do? One in each hand. I can't see you under your mask, but I'm sure you're loving it. All right, so here you go. Here's the first one. Oh, yeah. There you go. Very, dare I say, gentle again. Yeah. Yeah, you've never seen him move this slow. Encouragement from his sister there. Look at that. All right, great job. Excellent. You know, now you guys can enjoy the little candy and occupy yourselves. And you know, I don't want people to feel left out, so I have extra candy that I'll toss out. And this is the point I know where somebody's bound to get injured. And you know how you go trick-or-treating, and there's always that one really awesome house that gives out like the full-size candy bars? Well, I got one. Who wants the full-size candy bar? Grace, can she have it? All right. I just don't want you to get too hyper, but here you go, Grace. I don't want to throw it because I want to break it. Just because it's the full size. These things are very fragile. There you go. All right. Anybody like sour candies? Try one of those puppies. Who wants one? Let's throw them out. You know, softball season got canceled, so this is the only opportunity I have to throw stuff. Now, I did get, who's got the nasty breath under your mask? Anybody want to offer it up? Because I got some, I'm just going to put a mint out, you know. Whoever goes for it, as we know, who's going to have the funky breath. So I'm just going to toss some. There's some peanuts. So there's a Snickers if you want one. There's another mint. Give my brother Theron something. Give something out. Oh, I hit a light. I was going to try and get like the 3D action to try and get it at the camera for the live stream. But I'm just going to toss some things out. This can occupy you while I speak. If I injure anybody, complaints go to jlikarowitz@ffcph.com. So I have a whole, I have more, but I don't want to toss any more out. My arm is tired. So, you know, it was, the object lesson that we were giving is obviously they had to walk very carefully. They had to be, and you heard I was saying, gentle in how they walked across the stage. They had to be careful. If they rushed, if they were too quick, the egg would drop and it would break. And if it was a real egg, there would have been quite the mess that I would have had to avoid for the rest of the time, which I was speaking on stage, so I didn't step in eggs. But and I think our lesson for us, remember, we're going through, during these services, the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been looking at these characteristics that describe or should be a description of our Christian walk. And today we're going to look at this idea of gentleness. But I want to look at it from the aspect of really our gentleness in our speech and how we talk to each other. And you see, these fruits of the Spirit are characteristics, as I said, for our Christian lives. They are lives that should be defined by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And today we add to that gentleness. You know, all these topics are pretty hard topics to discuss. They're all things that are hard for us in our Christian lives. But as we see today, one of the things we have to think about is then how do we talk to each other in gentleness? So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 as I open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to have our doors open. A place where we can come and worship, where many around the country, around the world are unable to meet, Lord. We're thankful that we can come and sing songs of praise to you, where we can hear from you, where we can be encouraged as a church family, Lord. Lord, I pray now as we open your word that you would challenge us through your Spirit to think about what it means to be gentle in our speech, for us to live out these characteristics in our everyday lives, that we might show you more and more in our lives. Lord, we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was reflecting on this and thinking of this, and one of the frustrations I think for us is that we look out in the world today and we don't see a lot of gentleness. We don't see a lot of this playing out in the world that we live in today. And I think, unfortunately, for a lot of us, we can even tell that within our own churches, within our own Christian world, that there are Christians who don't even pronounce and speak kindly to one another. There are many Christians who can be unkind, harsh, rude, and coarse. You know, do we need to change how we talk to each other, how we relate to each other? You know, these days, social media is a dangerous platform. It can be good for connecting and keeping us in touch, but there are some major downfalls. And sometimes a lot of the conversations that maybe you see between believers can be so disappointing and embarrassing. You know, how do we know if an apple tree is actually an apple tree? You look at it and it has apples on it. If an apple tree is growing oranges, it's not an apple tree. You know, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we wonder, what should we show as believers? Christ says that they will know us by our fruit, they will know us by our love, and we have these examples that we set for us. And you know, as we think about this idea of gentleness, it's not really the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we get to pick and choose and say, well, I don't have gentleness. I don't have joy. I don't have kindness. These aren't like spiritual gifts where we can pick and choose, not really pick and choose even our spiritual gifts, but you know the idea that I'm trying to lay out. We have all these to show in our Christian life. All these should make up what the world sees and what other believers see in our lives. You know, the unfortunate thing is Francis Chan has a saying that gets quoted a lot, and he says, church would be a lot easier if it wasn't for all the people. There, you guys kind of get where we're coming from. And maybe you've been before hurt by church. Maybe you've been hurt by people within a church before, and it's given you a bad experience. All too often, how many times are we experiencing the gentleness of Christ in our lives? See, we can be careless. We can walk quickly and we can damage the eggs of our life as they drop off the spoons because we are not gentle. For this, I want to turn for us to James chapter 3 as we begin to look at this idea of what James says about how we talk to each other and the danger that comes from our tongues. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 3 of chapter 3 from James. He says this: "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire courses of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." See, in this section, James is going to describe the tongue with three different kind of object lessons. He's going to talk about a bit of a horse, the rudder of a ship, and a tiny flame which can set things on ablaze. Verse 3, we see the first one, the bit of a horse. It is the part that kind of connects in the horse's mouth that allows you to turn left or right or pull back or let go to kind of let the horse go free as you ride on this horse. It is the reins that allow you to control if it's a cooperating horse. Sometimes you don't get always so lucky, but as you get lucky enough, the horse will allow you to control it and you can go on your way. And it is such a small thing. If you've seen horses, they are massive. They are huge animals. Yet it is this tiny bit that can control the horse as the rider is riding it. He says we can turn the whole animal with this bit. Then in verse 4, he talks about the rudder on a ship. And in comparison to the size of the ship, the rudder is a very small part of the ship. Yet with that piece, the pilot, the boat captain, can control that ship. It got me thinking of next year. Our family is scheduled to take our first Disney cruise on the Disney Fantasy ship. Now, this is all COVID pending, of course. And on this ship, I was doing some research. And it is 1,115 feet long. And then for comparison, our building is 300 feet. Now, you know, my math isn't so great sometimes, but I figured out it's about four lengths of our building, give or take. It's like 3.5, but, you know, round up because it's just easier. So about four lengths of our building. And then it is 217 feet high. It has 16 decks, but 14 of those decks are open to the public. And then I was looking at and trying to find a picture of the rudder, and I spent a lot of time on this, and it was just was not happening. And I spent way too much time trying to find the rudder of a picture. But I did find out that they were probably about the height of our building. And we're about, some places, depending on where you are, it's like 20 feet high. So you think about how long and how huge this ship is. Now, they have multiple rudders also. But as you think about it, in comparison to such a large building, of how those boats are steered by such a small and detailed in comparison thing to how great they are. And what James is telling us here is that our bodies are our characteristics of our lives are controlled by such a small member of our body from our tongues. You can think about how much maybe blessings you've given to somebody else in their life. Or maybe you think about how relationships have been torn apart by some simple words. Maybe you have people in your lives you haven't talked to for years simply because of words that were said. Words that were hurtful, words that did not build up. And that's where he is going as we think about in verse 5 and 6, as he thinks about now this final thing that he says, the fire. He says, it is a small thing. He says, consider what a great forest is set on by a small spark. You know, this is a reality as I was reading this, which is all too real for us today, isn't it? We think about the forest fires that are going on in Oregon and California and Colorado, all dealing with these dangerous forest fires. The El Dorado fire has grown to over more than 21,000 acres. Anybody remember how it was started? It's been all over the news. A baby gender reveal kind of smoke filled that you can just hold in your hand. A small little thing that fits in your hand that you can just kind of shoot off. And it has caused this great amount of destruction. In 2018, there was a Colorado fire which destroyed over 10,000 acres and 141 homes was set off by a guy cooking in his backyard. Or there was a fire also, I think this was Colorado, in 2012, which was started by a tire blowout on the highway. The tire blew, and as the rim was rolling, it was creating sparks. And those sparks led to a great forest fire. The example that he is setting for us is our words can be destructive. Our words can be dangerous, and our words can hurt if they are not used in the idea of gentleness. See, once our words leave our mouth, we lose control of them. The tongue is like a small flame in the forest, and we don't like to think about Satan, but Satan wants to use our words to divide and to hurt the church body. He likes to attack us within. He likes to attack us as we're talking and relating to each other. Satan likes to keep us in a negative mindset. The more negative we are, the more hateful we are, the more hateful we are, the more satisfied he is as we interact with each other. We'll see this later on as we look further deeper into the book of Ephesians. We cannot control our own tongue. James, as he says in verse 7 and 8, all kinds of animals. He says, birds, reptiles, all these things have been tamed, but he says, no man can tame his tongue. We understand that there is a Holy Spirit within us in believers, which we need to allow to work in our lives, that he is the greater one in us. He is sanctifying us, making us more like Christ. We need to allow his... You ever get that little voice in your head that says, don't say this? How many times do you listen to that voice? By the laughter, I'll assume. Maybe not too often do we say, is this something worth saying? Is this something that is going to build up and lift up each other in Christ? The Holy Spirit will work in our heart and remind us of things not to say that will hurt and damage relationships. When someone takes advantage of us, we use harsh words. We want to strike back. We want to get back. We want to spew out negative things to upset people. It is so easy to become negative. In the times we live in, it's almost the first reaction that we have today. We have this negative reaction to the world around us. We have this negative reaction to the people interacting in our lives. And what this causes is harshness, impatience, unkindness, hatred. And we want to be living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and how we talk with each other, and how we lift each other up. However, these days, words can be harsh and sarcastic and unkind, and I know that I am guilty of that a lot. I love being sarcastic, and I need to be careful and understand the words that I say and the power that they have. We can say all the things that we want to say, but we never really fully understand the impact that it might have on somebody else. Remember, words that are spoken out of our lips can sometimes have irreversible damage unless Christ works in our lives. He closes out this section in verse 9 and 12 and really challenges us to think about the way that we worship. And we come in here on Sunday morning and we're singing songs to him, but how many of us were arguing with our family as we came through those doors? How many of us last night maybe had an argument, and then we come in here and we bless with our words. We sing songs of praise to God, yet we don't speak words of blessing to people created in his image. It says, can the fresh water bring forth fresh and salt water? Can our words bring forth blessings and cursings from the same mouth? We want to praise. We want to lift up. We don't want to be that apple tree that produces oranges. As we think about how we are told to relate to each other, how we are told to be with one another, we think about Galatians, where Paul repeats basically what Christ says in John, where he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. They tell us that we will know us by our love in John chapter 13 as Christ speaks. It says the tongue paints a picture of the true nature of mankind. We know that within us lies sinful and hateful reactions. But we want to have that Holy Spirit work in our lives and change us from the inside out. You think about the Pharisees and all the struggles that they had with Jesus. They were so focused on presenting the right way of life. But Jesus challenges them and says, look, no, it is the inside of your life that needs to change. It is your inside that you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and see how Christ wants us to live. The bit enables the rider to control the horse. The rudder enables the pilot to navigate the ship. And there is a great damage that comes from words. There is a word that we can have that can tear down relationships. Now, see, here's how people sometimes react to things like this. They'll say, well, listen, it's just the way I speak. It's just the way that I was raised. It's my personality, the way I talk. I would respond and say, so you're just saying you're just naturally a jerk? Is that the way that you live your lives? Is that the way that Christ is working in your life? See, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He says, the old passes away and the new has come. The way we lived our lives, the way we even spoke in our lives before Christ is different after Christ comes into our lives. After we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we are a new creation. And yes, people like to bring up that, yes, Jesus was harsh. And yes, he was. And there are times when we need to be harsh. When topics of false teaching arise and we want to be on the front lines. But see, as Jesus tossed the tables and as he challenged the Pharisees, he had one thing. Well, he was missing one thing that we have. He did not have a sinful nature whenever he got angry. And whenever he spoke, he didn't have a sinful nature driving him as he interacted with people. We want to be angry. We want to be upset over things, but we need to handle it in a way which honors Christ, in a way that doesn't allow our sinful nature to control our tongue. You know, Scripture, as I was going through it, this week for our kind of, you're up to date on the yearly Bible reading, you're going a lot through Proverbs. And as I was going through Proverbs over this week, I found a lot of verses that kind of talk about our tongues and our speech and how we are to lift each other up. So I have a long list here that I'll just read through some of these and kind of say some things about them. The point is to see how much Scripture cares about how we talk to each other and how we are to live that out. In Proverbs 11:11, it says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You kind of picture that. You know, you've watched all those movies with sword fighting and when someone gets stabbed. And maybe you felt that way, that the harsh words that maybe somebody has spoken to you feels like a sword just being stabbed into your body. Or maybe you've had the harsh words and you don't even realize the words you're saying and the impact it's having on somebody. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 15:4, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Proverbs 16:28, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends." Maybe you've been there, maybe the whispers behind the back that have destroyed friendships, that have hurt relationships. Proverbs 17, verses 27 to 28, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps his silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Proverbs 18:2, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Now, don't use these proverbs against your kids at some point. Proverbs 18:6-7, "A fool's lips walk into a fight." Anybody ever walk into a fight with your words? "And a mouth invites a beating." Ouch. "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Whoever keeps his mouth," Proverbs 21:23, "whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." You know, all these things, and we look at Proverbs as Solomon giving words of wisdom for us to live by. And there was even more that I didn't even write down. There is a ton in Proverbs about how we talk and use our mouths, and how we are to be wise in our speech, and conversely with the fools who open their mouths. All these things are ways in which God wants the fruit of the Spirit to live out in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, as he's dealing and struggling with this church in Corinth, he actually talks to them. He says, "Look, you want me to come at you with a rod or a spirit of gentleness?" There were a place where things were going on that was not a way of the church. And he says, "Look, I can come at you harsh, or I can come at you with a spirit of gentleness." You know, as we look forward to a time of communion, I want us to spend some time and consider the book of Ephesians. And if you'll turn there now as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, as I was going through and preparing this message, I came to this section and I was like, great, now I got to rewrite my entire message, because I can't use James and Ephesians because they're just both such long sections. So I was like, maybe I should just forget James. But I was like, no, I'm going to make it work and I'm going to talk through both sections. So here we are thinking about this new life. It's kind of what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians. And he's going to give some comparisons here to how we used to be, how non-believers are. And he's going to give a comparison. He's saying, but this is the way of a believer. This is the way in which we live now. And that's what he's going to start here in verse, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 4. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord," here he goes, "says that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." And in verse 18 he says, "They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God, and their ignorance is due to a hardness of heart." In verse 19 he says, "They are callous." He says that they've given themselves up to every kind of impurity. But he says, "But," in verse 20, "that is not the way you learned." He says, "Assuming that you have learned about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus Christ." Verse 22, he says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on the new self." And here he says, "Created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." So there he's comparing and he's saying there is this new life that you have in Christ. There is this old life, the way of the Gentiles. But he says, but that is not the way you learned. And then he comes to always one of the biggest words in the Bible in verse 25, and he says, "Therefore." And if you've ever gone through classes or you've heard sermons, the old saying is, what is the therefore, as you're reading through Scripture? And what he is comparing now, he's saying, because of this new life, therefore, having put away falsehood, Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Here we go. He says, be angry and do not sin in verse 26. He says, do not let the sun go down in your anger. And here he comes back to this point I mentioned earlier about Satan. Satan wants to use our words against us. He wants to use the way that we interact against the church and to tear it apart from the inside. And in verse 27, he says, and give no opportunity to the devil. How many times do we use the words that we say as an opportunity for the devil to tear us apart? To give him kind of an opening into our lives to say, let me tear these two apart. Let me damage these churches with their words. He says, do not give an opportunity to the devil. He goes on now, we skip down to verse 29. He says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such that is good for building up, that fits the occasion, that it may be give grace to those who hear. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He says, as we hurt each other, as we use our words against each other, as we don't lift each other up, we are grieving the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, as long with all malice. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And then he says, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. I think you can see, as you think about the passage from James about the dangers of the tongue, and as you think about these words from Ephesians, we know how we are to live, how we are to speak, how we are to live out a life that is in gentleness toward each other. We want to be people who encourage one another. And yes, when there are times to be harsh, but to remember that we have a sinful nature that drives us and that we don't want it to overpower us in those moments. We want to be encouraging, challenging and encouraging. You know, oftentimes that we say to our children, and maybe you say this as well, it says, it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it. And how many times can we give the same message, but in a different way, which can teach the same thing, but just said in maybe a different tone or in a different way that encourages and lifts up. And as we think about our time of communion and we think about the last phrase that he says here. In Ephesians, he says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, it is Christ who went to the cross because of that sinful nature that drives us. Those evil thoughts and those evil things that come about in our minds that we want to express out into the world were nailed to the cross, and they were forgiven by Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture is clear that we are all sinners, that we all fall short, and we're not going to be perfect. Maybe we'll go out from here and immediately walk out the door and say a harsh word to somebody, and then the Spirit will convict us like that. It is something that we go through in our lives, but it is something that we want to change. We want to be better. We want to allow the Spirit to change our lives, to change us from the inside out. And Jesus died on the cross for that. And as he was in the upper room, he said, look, guys, I want you to remember me. When you come together, I want you to reflect on the things that I have taught you, the things that you have seen in my life. Worship team, you can make your way back up as we get ready for a time of remembrance. You see, it was Jesus who, when he was with his disciples in the upper room, he broke the bread and he says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we get ready for this time of communion, I want to remind you that because of COVID, we are not passing around the plates. But you will see in the chairs in front of you are our great little self-service things here. I'll kind of give you guys some time to gather these things, but you remember there's kind of two little tabs. There's a first little tab which opens up to the wafer, and then there's a second tab that opens up to the juice. So there should be some all in front of you there. You know, and Christ tells us, he says, look, He is sitting with his disciples. He says, I want you to remember me. I want you to know that as I leave here, I'm going to send my spirit, but I want you to remember that we are here with you still. And as I already said, in 1 Corinthians it says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.